2016 has been quite a year. If we asked you to pick the 10 best parts of it, what would you choose? Well, that's exactly what we asked our film critic Harlan Jacobson to do when it comes to the movies.
It's hard enough, usually, to figure out if the year itself was good until years later. That said, 2016, in terms of film, was diverse in terms of race, gender, and sexual orientation. The Lost White Guys this year didn't cut quite the same figure as previous years. The films I like best, not necessarily in order, are Moonlight by Barry Jenkins, which debuted in Toronto, in three chapters sketches the life of a black Miami boy to manhood.
What happened? Huh? What happened, Chiron? Why you didn't come home like you're supposed to? Huh? And who is you?
Nobody. I found him yesterday. Found him in a hole on 15. Yeah, that one. Some boys chased him in the cut. He scared more than anything. He wouldn't tell me where he lived till this morning.
Well, thanks for seeing to him. He usually can take care of himself.
In addition to rendering a memoir of black Miami in the 80s, it makes the characters as complex as the ghetto. That was the point of the film. Then there's The Can Trio, I, Daniel Blake, by 80-year-old Ken Loach, the last of the British kitchen sink socialist directors, who's never stopped his cannon fire at Maggie Thatcher, dead though she art. Labour made the social safety net, and the Tories made sure it doesn't work in this bureaucratic hall of mirrors about a 59-year-old man, memorably played by stand-up comedian Dave Johns, on disability after a heart attack and forced to look for a job he can't take. Tony Erdmann, the third film by German director Maren Otte, focuses on an aging baby boomer German father hovering around the edges of the corporate life that his 30-something-year-old daughter is currently killing because it's killing her. L. Welcome back, Paul Verhoeven, mostly absent for 10 years since Black Book, who in this French-language thriller turns Isabelle Huppert at 63 into a sexy action figure as a partner in a French computer games firm. Huppert is boss, not just of the techno-geek employees, but of herself, her rapist, in a feminist will to power trick, and probably of you and me. 13th, Ava DuVernay's harrowing, game-changing doc for Netflix, premiered at the New York Film Festival. It traces the timeline of slavery through the enactment of the 13th Amendment in 1865, intended by Lincoln as an emancipation, unwittingly through to the modern prison industrial complex. In Gavin Hood's Eye in the Sky, a Toronto 2015 holdover, Helen Mirren plays a British colonel located in a command post in England, alerted in the middle of the night that several Islamic terrorists on the most wanted list are bomb-suiting up in Nairobi, Kenya. I can't say enough about how smart I think Mike Mills' 20th Century Women is. Back to the 70s and 80s, Annette Bening, Greta Gerwig, and Elle Fanning simply nail where our modern world comes from, one that almost elected a woman president in the 21st century. It's droll, brilliant, and smart. Captain Fantastic. I love Viggo Mortensen as the New Age male in Matt Ross's 70s memoir about a man homeschooling his kids. Until it spluttered to a close in a ditch in the last act, the film pitch-perfectly recreated the revolutionary zeitgeist of the late 60s and early 70s. And it drew a wavy, gravy yellow line for the school bus ride back to where all the good stuff now, in 2016, got its start. Fences, Denzel Washington. It ain't a perfect film by any means, but I loved August Wilson's words. I loved the House and the Hill District characters of Pittsburgh circa the early 50s, and I loved Denzel and Viola Davis and their marriage, cutting to the core of black resilience and empathy that still hold true today. I didn't forget La La Land by Damien Chazelle, who channels the classic musical absent from the big screen for decades, in contrast to the sneaky MTV-derived musicals like Once or the musical biopics. There are reasons for the classic musical's demise, mostly having to do with nothing being repressed anymore. Things to love about La La Land, which won't stand up to too much examination, include the opening number, the deliberately treated umbrellas of Cherbourg glance between Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, the muscularity of Gosling's Gene Kelly body language, married to how light he is on his feet when it comes to patter. Here he shows up to work as a supper club pianist and runs smack into club owner J.K. Simmons.
Hey.
Bill, thanks for having me back.
You're welcome.
I want you to know you're looking at a new man.
Good.
Man that's happy to be here.
Excellent.
Very easy to work with, man.
Okay. And you're going to play the set list.
Happy to. Even though I don't think anyone cares what I play, but
yeah. Well, if by anyone you mean anyone other than me, that would be correct. I care, and I don't want to hear the free jazz.
Right. Okay. Although I thought in this town it worked on a sort of one for you, one for me type system. How about two for you, one for me? How about all for you and none for me?
That's perfect, yes.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, mutual decision then.
Right, made by me.
Right, and I sign off on it, so.
Whatever, tell yourself what you want to know.
Well, welcome back.
There's a nice way to say that, Karen.
And no, I didn't overlook Manchester by the Sea by Kenneth Lonergan, with a down-on-his-luck Casey Affleck getting saddled with his dead brother's kid and fishing boat. I cry at car insurance commercials because sometimes they ring true. They should have called this one Manchester by the Soap, because after a couple of viewings, the only ring it leaves is around the tub. That's 2016. It ends with Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds leaving together. In 2017, may the rapture only come at the movies. And I'm Harlan Jacobson.